and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Jam-packed today. Chairman Steve Israel on the big show. Representative Paul Tonko and Ari Berman of The Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Lots going on. Oh, it's debate day. You know me. I'm in a cable news geek.
I know.
<laughs> It's
on CNN. This one's on CNN tonight.
I plan my box wine, my snacks. Boy. It's such a good
fun. It's like you go to a desert island.
Yeah.
You have to plan to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I read Carl Frisch's tweets that make me giggle. Huntsman, I'd like to thank my father for spending all his money on a lost cause.
Yeah.
Huntsman's withdrawal speech sounded better in the original Mandarin. Oh, we love Carl Frisch. Oh, look who's here.
Carl.
Okay. Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. Have you heard the breaking news from last night?
What? Hang on.
Oh, there is some breaking news.
Which one?
This is just so remarkably delicious. Newt Gingrich's second wife, Marianne,
yes,
sat down for a two-hour interview with ABC's
yes,
John Ross, and it's going to air tonight on Nightline.
So they definitely decided that it will air? Because I know there was some back and forth. Okay.
AP, Politico, they've all confirmed that it will be airing on Nightline tonight.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Yeah, there's another debate. That's great. But
right.
I want to get the dirt.
Yeah.
Yes, but human nature being what it is.
Well, also, there's another piece of breaking news coming out of Iowa this morning.
Oh, pardon me. Yes.
It turns out that, according to certified votes, Santorum actually won Iowa.
Oh, God,
yeah.
Carl. Could you write this primary season?
Can we get back to whether Newt's curtains match the drapes or whatever the sort of carpet match the drapes?
Sorry, Carl.
Now, how long until he starts blaming Rick Perry and Mitt Romney and the Democrat attack machine and the liberal media for setting his wife up on this interview?
Right.
You know, it's so hard. I've honestly been rooting for Newt just because the stuff he says about Romney at Bain and his taxes are so dead on. But seriously, could we have two more odious characters to pick from? They're both awful in different ways.
I am just so excited that his ex-wife is about to get frankly on us.
Yeah.
Frankly. I wonder if she says frankly as
frankly.
Much. Because frankly, he does not want frankness from ex-wives.
No.
Frankly, he stepped out on our marriage, frankly.
I mean,
now, this is the same one that did the interview with Esquire magazine, correct?
Right. They were married for 18 years.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Which is longer than his marriage to his high school geometry teacher.
Yes. There's that. What do you make of all the Romney stuff, though? I mean, I got to say, he has handled this as badly as almost everything else. It's going to show stuff in the Cayman Islands. It's going to show, obviously, that he's paying way, way lower than most people. Go ahead.
My personal favorite, and I can't believe that you would think that this is bad for him, he's trying to look like the 1%.
Right.
You know, because they control so much of this country. My personal favorite was when he said, you know, I haven't really worked for 10 years, so, you know, I do some speeches and stuff, but I don't make that much money anymore. That's why I'm at the 15% tax rate. And then they looked into his speaking fees, and he made $374,000 last year, which places him firmly in the 1%.
Yes, just that little nothing that he makes on the side is 10 times the average. I mean, he's just central casting for Out of Touch.
Right.
Part of me, Carl, goes, I don't know who we'd prefer to run against, right? Noodle or Mitt. They're both.
It's no wonder he doesn't want to put out his taxes. We're finding out that he has, you know, between $8 and $35 million in the Grand Cayman Islands, that he gave $4 million to the Mormon Church just about the time the Mormon Church was pouring all that money into California's Proposition 8 campaign.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not surprising in the slightest that this guy, who has tried to bet Rick Perry $10,000 in the debate, said that he was part of the middle class, said that he was looking for a job too, and that he was worried about pink slips when he had it written into his contract he could never be fired. It's not surprising that this guy is going to be the Republican nominee because he fits their profile perfectly.
Well, yeah. I mean, Carl, I got to say, this is, to me, I can't believe we're in 2012. It is a historically homophobic and racist bunch, all of them. I mean, look at Newt Gingrich. It seems the reason he's gaining traction in South Carolina is the blatantly racist stuff, not the stuff about
exactly
Romney.
Right. Well, you know, Huntsman's just so lucky that he's not there, because I know that Rove would probably do some robocalls saying that he worked for an illegitimate black president.
Rick Perry suspending campaign.
Yeah,
that is breaking
right now.
Right, this is Rick Perry, Little Dumber Boy's out.
Yep, suspending his campaign.
Wow. Wow, what does that do?
I was thinking that Rick Perry was only staying in it to South Carolina to help Romney, because his donors are very common with Romney. You know, they're very establishment donors. But now I'm beginning to wonder, you know, if he gets out before the election, that helps everybody but Romney.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, Carl, boy, maybe anybody's guess at this point, what's going to happen in South Carolina? I mean, are the Romney stuff more damaging, or is this thing tonight with Gingrich's ex-wife more damaging? What the hell's going to happen, do you think?
Well, I mean, here's the problem. With Herman Cain, all of the attacks came out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, women came forward.
Right.
With Newt Gingrich, we already know that his current wife was his mistress.
Right.
And that his last wife was his mistress, and that his first wife he divorced, you know, while she was in her hospital bed dying of cancer.
Yes.
So we already know these things, and so do the voters. Everybody knows these things about Newt. So I have a feeling that these will actually sink in on people, unlike many of the attacks on the other candidates have. But, you know, Mitt Romney's going to have a lot to answer for, too, and I think perhaps the reason that Perry's getting out is to make room for Santorum, so that the evangelicals who all put their support behind Santorum, might come around to him later in the, 2016 or
that could be this. Carl, you're absolutely right. That could be the surprise in South Carolina, right? Is that, you know, the with Perry getting out and this thing airing tonight on Gingrich, that, you know, and the news coming out that Santorum actually won Iowa. You know what I mean?
Oh no,
it's another Santorum surge.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. All right. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Santorum bubble is rising again. Yikes.
He's surging all over the Gulf, you know, the Charleston coast.
Oh.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world. There's too much fun to talk, but there's more fun before we even dive in. All right, Eric Bolling on the 5 on the president.
He is the food stamp president.
Allow me, and I'll shut up the rest of the block. Obama has presided over the biggest expansion in food stamp usage in numbers, in pure dollar amount, went from $60 billion to an $83 billion program, the fourth largest entitlement program in America under Obama. It's exploding.
Yeah, he left out a couple of key facts, Carl, and that is that the food stamp program was expanded under George Bush, and more people are on them now because of the recession caused by George Bush.
Well, they would never, you know, George Bush no longer exists to these people. I can't believe that show is still on television.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Canceled yet. And Eric Bolling, if President Obama is the food stamp president, then Eric Bolling is the douche nozzle commentator.
Yes.
Exactly. All right, Rush Limbaugh on Romney.
All this talk about Romney, 15%, his speech income, he doesn't know how much is how little and so forth. Let me see what Romney doesn't do. Romney has not played over 90 rounds of golf in 3 years.
Oh, dear.
While everybody is suffering, Romney has not flown all over the world on the federal government's dime. Romney has not had lavish parties and concerts on the public's dime.
Wow.
Romney has not lived like a king on other people's money. He has not sent his wife on government jets 4 hours ahead of him to the same destination.
Oh, wow. Where do you even start there? He's the first
Romney
president ever, you know,
president.
That's had a special plane.
Yeah.
Romney has not been president. I mean, is that Rush Limbaugh's point?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. You're right. He hasn't, and he won't ever be.
So, yes.
You know, sorry, Mr. Limbaugh.
Wow. And right after George Bush and how many pictures we had of him playing golf, really, this president plays too much golf. Okay.
At least President, you know, Obama plays it with Republicans from time to time to try and, you know, get them on board with his policies.
Yeah.
I mean, You're talking about the last president who had more vacations than any president in modern history. And, you know, when Katrina was happening, he was famously giving a birthday cake to John McCain. I mean, that president was AOL from the day he was AOL from the National Guard.
Thank you. Ooh, yeah. Good one. Nicely done. All right. Britt Hume on the Brit Bear.
You know, Gingrich looks like he's maybe rising there and doing well. He'd like to get Santorum out of the way so that he could take that vote. So what does he do? He tells Santorum, who has beaten him in both Iowa and New Hampshire, that Santorum ought to get out of the race.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were trying to keep Santorum in the race, you could not have done better. And that's what he did. Remarkable.
Wow. Speaking of gossip.
Right.
Did you see the Gawker piece on... There is so much stuff bubbling under the surface. That speaking of gossip and stuff, Carl, in this Republican primary,
that's kind of tragic.
And who hates who? Yes.
Yeah.
And who hates who? But why? And why? Mm-hmm. Right, Carl? Because you can't figure out like who hates who more and why, and all these old stuff, you know, going back. But you know what? I'll tell you about that whole story when we get back. There's a tease.
Yeah.
All right. Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We'll continue Right Wing World. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with Carl Frisch and more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. I don't believe it. This is too good to be real. Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch of Bullfight Strategies in the sidecar for Right Wing World. Wow, we were. It's hard. The breaking news is we didn't get a helmet this morning.
Yeah, I know.
Rick Perry is out. We assume he will have a press conference today, Carl. And do you think he's going to endorse somebody?
If I was him, I'd probably endorse Santorum. But I'm getting some more information from the field that he has retreated to an undisclosed N-word ranch property somewhere in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, that could put him back on top in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is, boy, the racial politics in South Carolina are nasty, aren't they?
Well, they're disgusting. The last Republican race I ever worked on was 2000 McCain versus W.
And that's right.
The famous race, you know, where Karl Rove did the robocalls saying that McCain had an illegitimate black child.
Right.
Yeah. What's funny about that race, if there is anything funny, is that McCain's consultants were these people called the Quins, a family known as the Quins. And the Quins ran Southern Partisan Magazine. Southern Partisan Magazine would make the Ron Paul newsletters look like love letters to the African-American community.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, the Quins, were running John Huntsman's campaign until it ended. So, you know, the appeals to racial politics, when you're only talking to geriatrics, it's not uncommon that these are the issues that they're going to run with to win the nomination.
You know, Rick Santorum could go over the top in South Carolina to come out and go, "Of course I didn't say black people. What are you, idiots? Of course I said black people. Black, black, black." All right. Bob Beckel, Dana Perino, Andrea Tantaros.
Are we skipping one?
Which one? No, we already
played.
Is that
one clip?
Hmm? We already played Brit Hume.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. No. Did we play Brit Hume? we're all confused.
Okay.
What's that?
No.
Yeah, yes, we are. All right, let's skip to Bob Beckel, okay. Dana Perino.
Do you think there's not a reason why Republicans only get 5% or 4% of the black vote? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's because they feel more...
President Bush got more than that, but then it slipped again. I think it's a lot of brainwashing on the part of your party.
All right.
Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, blacks easily brainwashed as well. Wow.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. That's, yikes.
That was true, Stephanie, don't you think that they would brainwash back?
Yes. If they knew, wouldn't they employ their own techniques?
Right.
Yes. Wow. That was that was kind of breathtaking.
Yeah.
In its racism.
They certainly don't brainwash anybody against gays or women or choice or economics or science or math or letters or numbers or shapes.
All right, Gretchen Carlson to Jerry Springer on Fox.
And by the way, Jerry, you obviously don't watch our show because you do not understand that there's a reason. I'll speak for myself. I sit in the middle as the independent on the panel. And quite frankly, we present both sides of the story and we leave it up to our viewers to decide where they fall.
Okay, first of all,
she
is not...
Did you read the Chiron? We report. You decide.
First of all, she is not middle or independent. She is far right. And if she is the middle of the other two on there, who the hell is on the left? Yeah. It ain't Ducey. It ain't Kilmeade.
Yeah.
What is she talking about?
I don't know if you watched the expression on her face when Jerry Springer was actually saying these things.
Yes.
It was remarkably gratifying.
White hot lasers were coming out of her eyes.
Awesome.
I mean, if you don't ever want to be on Fox, you know, all you have to do is what Jerry did. He's never going to get back on.
Oh, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, Stephanie's done that. She's burned all of her bridges with Fox News.
Whoop, bye-bye. Okay. All right, David Asman on Fox.
Asman.
Sure, yeah. Business.
Mm-hmm. Education in America began to decline when teachers became unionized in the 1960s. That's one place where honor began to get squeezed out of professions. When professionals become unionized and see themselves as nothing more than units of labor, they diminish their own self-worth, and the quality of their work does decline. The individual pride they used to take in their work gets overtaken by the collective solidarity to union demands.
What?
And that attitude is spread throughout the culture, now affecting one of the most honored traditions of the sea. Self-sacrifice and honor used to be the hallmarks of being ship's captains. But now, like in so many other professions, self-sacrifice has been washed over by self-interest.
The Italian shipper was the union's fault? Am I? What?
Just when you thought that they could not go any further. You know how many teachers are sitting in classrooms right now going down with their school?
Yeah. Oh boy, that was kind of a stunning right wing world. Now, Carl, we had mentioned before the break. I know you're not the gossipy type, but pull up a chair. We were saying it's hard to keep track. What we did play it actually.
You're right. Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you.
I was wrong.
It was Brit Hume Gingrich bashing, right? And we were going like,
this Gawker piece is particularly. I had forgotten about this.
Me too. And I did not know these details. And as Chris said, it's still alleged. But the Gawker headline is: Did Newt Gingrich out Brit Hume's gay dead son? And it's awful.
So basically, Brit Hume's son, Sandy Hume, was a reporter here in Washington, and he wrote a story about how these various members of Congress, these young guns, were looking to take over the Congress from Newt Gingrich, and Dick Armey was one of them, and Bill Paxon, who was Susan Molinari's husband from New York, was one of them as well, and that when Armey found out that not only when the story came out, Armey denied that he had anything to do with it. And then he found out that Paxon was gunning for his seat. So he was outed. And when he was outed, the story goes that Sandy Hume killed himself because he was in a relationship with Bill Paxon and couldn't stand that he had ruined Paxon's career by naming him as one of the guns that was aiming for leadership. And Paxon retired and moved to New York, moved back to New York, and we've never heard from him ever again.
Oh God! I mean, I know this. You just think when this campaign couldn't get more awful and ugly and negative. This stuff I'd forgotten, but it's the Miami Herald has kind of resurfaced this. Anyway, we're out of time, Carl. Terrific right wing world, and we'll see you next week.
Yep, watch Nightline tonight.
Yes,
we will. Oh dear. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Chairman Steve Israel on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you really think...
Stephanie Miller.
...is beautiful?
Absolutely. That's really how I feel. Now, it is true her personality is abrasive. Slightly abrasive.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 11 a.m. Eastern. Rick Perry will give a press conference. We will go to that live.
Yep.
He is dropping out of the presidential race. Good news for America. Bad news for comedy.
Yeah.
Because there would be 8 more dumb things he would have said tonight at the debate that we would have for tomorrow. So that part...
And it's good news for the Democratic races in November.
Yeah, well, look at you, King Segway.
Hey!
Look, I wonder if we have anyone on the phone that would know anything about that. Why? It's Chairman Steve Israel, of the head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Good morning, Chairman.
What a coincidence.
That's so weird.
Wow, very weird.
We went to the worst radio school ever.
Yeah. You are the king to the segue. Wonderful.
Wow. I mean, I you know, Chairman, I have to say, I don't think I have seen a Republican primary season like this. This is, it's almost like a perfect storm, I have to say, for those of us on the other side, don't you think?
Well, it is. In fact, you have the Congress of chronic chaos with House Republicans, and now you have chronic chaos in the presidential primary. Rick Perry was getting about 15% of the vote, which is about the effective tax rate that Mitt Romney has been paying.
Yes.
So all told, it just shows that the Republicans are in disarray, the Democrats, you know, we have our act together. We're on a roll. We have a really good chance of winning back the House in November and giving the president a partner to work with instead of constant obstruction and chaos.
Mr. Chairman, you have to say these things are not unconnected. This historic event yesterday in Wisconsin, with 1 million signatures for recall of Scott Walker, you've got the 99% movement. The likely nominee, Mitt Romney, as you say, could not be more central casting for the top 1%, and someone is not paying his fair share. I mean, it's one story after another, right? He's getting stuff for the Cayman Islands. He won't release his tax returns.
Right.
I mean...
Well, this began, look, a year ago, we were kind of down and out. We had lost over 60 seats in the House. President's numbers were challenged. We were in depressed, despondent, and despair, and in debt. A year later, we're really on a roll. And when you really look at it, when things began to shift was in Wisconsin, in Indiana, in Ohio, where you had these radical governors trying to balance budgets on the backs of working families. Who were taking away the right of a union worker to negotiate for a decent salary in retirement. That's when this began to shift, about a year ago, in places like Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, and elsewhere. The breeze has been blowing in our direction ever since. People, union workers and others who may have voted for a Tea Party Republican for Congress in 2010 woke up about a year ago and said, this extremism is not what I voted for.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. It's unprecedented Republican overreach. And you look at what happened to Kasich in Ohio, what's happening to Walker in Wisconsin. Now, the other polling that I'm sure you saw that I thought was great is, while we're pretty far out, in a hypothetical matchup between Obama and Romney, they're about even. But, of course, the huge majority of the president's voters are enthusiastic about voting for him.
Yeah.
The huge majority of Romney's voters are just voting against the president. They're not voting for Romney. There's no enthusiasm.
Well, that's the problem they have on the other side. And it's kind of a mirror image of the problem that, quite honestly, we had in 2010, where, our base was not as enthusiastic as we had hoped. And that's one of the reasons we lost the House. Right now, the Republican base is not enthusiastic about Mitt Romney. He cannot, no matter what happens, in every single primary, in every single caucus, the vast majority of Republican voters are voting against him. So he can't penetrate. He's got a certain ceiling that he's not able to penetrate. But let's not get too optimistic, because here's what's going to happen. These stealth super PACs, these secretive groups run by the Koch brothers and Karl Rove, they're going to spend a fortune to make sure that the oil companies retain their grip on the Congress and the White House. They're going to beam in with these despicable ads. They're going to try and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that the White House is in the hands of the oil companies and the House of Representatives is in the hands of the oil companies. And we're not going to let them. Yesterday, we rolled out our list of 36 red to blue candidates, Democrats in Republican districts who we believe will win, who will preserve Medicare, stick up for the middle class, go to bat against oil company subsidies, and bring the Congress back to common sense.
What now? So tell us about the candidates. Who are the candidates in this red to blue campaign?
Well, we need 25 seats to win the House back and give the president a partner. We have 76 seats in play. Yesterday, we announced 36 Democratic candidates in districts that are highly competitive. And what I love about them is they are problem solvers. I'll just give you a couple examples. In California, in the Modesto area, Jose Hernandez, the son of migrant workers, didn't speak English until he was 12, wanted to be an astronaut, worked hard, and was on the International Space Station. He said, what could be more of a problem solver than somebody who has to figure out all systems go? In Florida, Orlando, Val Demings, the first African-American female police chief who brought crime down 40%. Indiana, Brendan Mullen, an Iraq war vet. In Virginia, a two-star general in John Douglas. These are all problem solvers. They are all about solutions, and they want to fight the extremism and the right-wing ideology of the Republicans that has consistently put millionaires over Medicare and oil company tax subsidies over middle-class tax cuts.
We saw what happened yesterday in Wisconsin. What can voters do to get involved, you know, if they're listening to you right now and hearing this message? Because, like I say, this is a perfect storm. I think started with Occupy, and we are in the 99%. And it's, as you say, I think that's all about turnout at this point.
You know, it is. And I'll tell you, if we were 60 seats ahead, then maybe, you know, one of your listeners really couldn't make the difference. If we were 60 seats behind, maybe one of your listeners couldn't make the difference. But we're within 25 seats of taking the House back. Every single person can make the difference. And so I hope they'll go to www.dccc.org, take a look at these red-to-blue candidates, choose a candidate or candidates that they'd like to support or get involved with, and help us take back this House.
Chairman, I know that it isn't your area, but, you know, obviously we've seen, you know, the results of a really historically obstructionist Congress and Senate.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the Senate? I know it's not your area.
You know, I'm the chairman of the DCCC, but I have a partnership with Patty Murray. We don't, you know, it's not good enough for us to win an election in the House. We want to win the majority. And it's not good enough for us to win the majority in the House. We want to make sure that the Senate also retains the majority. And it's not good enough to have a Democratic House and Senate. We want to make sure we continue to have a Democratic president to work for. Now, you know, the landscape is not going to be easy. We need to pick up 25 seats. The Senate has many more Democrats than Republicans that they have to defend.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like the idea of obstruction, whether in the House or the Senate, of Republican senators or House members voting against Medicare, voting against middle-class tax cuts, you can make the difference by getting involved in a House race or a Senate race, and certainly in the presidential.
Mm-hmm. Chairman, the former and I hope future leader Pelosi was interesting, said the other day, I'm fine with the president running against the do-nothing Congress because she said, you know, these Republicans, that's what they've chosen, you know.
That's the course. Well, you know what? By the way, I wouldn't mind them doing nothing. What I mind is when they do damage.
Yeah.
At this point, I'll settle for a do-nothing Republican Congress.
Yeah.
What we have is a do-damage Republican Congress, and we got to stop them.
Right. Try if you just take the doctor's oath, first do no harm. Just try that,
exactly.
First of all.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, it's like you say, it's going to be – that's the thing that's deceptive is, you know, this number is keep getting out there about, $1 billion. The president's going to raise $1 billion. The fact is, like you say, the Citizens United, look at how it is. I mean, don't you love watching the Republican candidates complain about the super PACs?
Yeah.
I mean, it is hard to fathom the amount of money that's going to flood into this cycle from conservative groups, isn't it?
Stephanie, in 2010, Democrats did not lose to Republicans in the House. We lost to Karl Rove and the Koch brothers. We got swept off our feet by the Citizens United, these stealth and secretive ads. A Democratic Congress won't tolerate that. You know, the first thing we need to do is pass the Disclose Act so that people know when they see one of these commercials who paid for it. And then the second thing we need to do is vastly reform the entire system and get money out of politics.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think job one, but I think in this cycle we're not going to be able to prevent it. That's why I have to say I'd love so much what you see happening in Wisconsin, because you go, you know, this is the power. We still have democracy in this country despite Citizens United. I mean, it is beyond challenge, a million signatures, right?
That's right, and the difference between them and us is they believe that you can win elections from the top down by just airdropping millions and millions of dollars into a district. We're going to win from the bottom up with the people who are signing those petitions, who are going door-to-door in our field programs, in our targeting programs. We'll win them on the streets where it counts.
Well, and you know who who I think is making our case really the best of anyone right now is Newt Gingrich, who said Mitt Romney thought he could buy this, and he's finding out he can't buy this.
Right, and Newt Gingrich makes the case in French and English, and it's great. What is your
take on what's going to happen, both in South Carolina and overall? I have to ask before we go.
You know, anybody who tells you that they can predict what's going to happen shouldn't be telling you what's going to happen. The whole theme of the Republican presidential race has been the unpredictability, the chaos, the fact that Mitt Romney hasn't been able to consolidate. And so here's the deal. The more the American people see Republican presidential candidates tearing each other apart, and the more they see Democrats in the House talking about rebuilding the middle class and reigniting the American dream, the more those voters will want a Democratic House.
Yeah, this is – I'm looking at the headline right now on CNN. So Rick Santorum actually won Iowa.
Yeah.
As it turns out,
right.
Mitt Romney
right.
has money parked in the Cayman Islands and won't disclose his tax yeah. returns. And one of Newt Gingrich's ex-wives is being interviewed tonight on television. It's wow, it's anybody's guess at this point, isn't it?
It is unpredictable.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't take anything for granted. They're going to do everything they can to steal this election away from us, and we've got to make sure we're doing everything we can to win.
Not with the Chairman Steve Israel in charge, my friend.
Well,
all right.
That's kind of you.
Steve, thank you so much. Always
thanks,
a pleasure.
Guys.
Please check back in with us. Thanks
Will
so
do.
Much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Chairman Steve Israel, he's awesome.
He is awesome. I feel really good with him in charge of getting Democrats elected.
Is it wrong to feel so happy today? Okay. It's just breaking news left and right.
I know.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, this is my show, and it's a serious intellectual hour of discussion, and I want to keep it that way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Okay, Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York coming up next hour. Oh, it's just news breaking left and right, and we will go live at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, that's when it's scheduled. These things tend to run late, so.
To the Little Dumber Boys press conference. Rick Perry and out of the presidential race. Damn it. Oh, that, you can count. He's the only one you can reliably count on to say the stupidest ever at debates. So he'll be out of the bad news is.
I'm glad you also finished that sentence. You started with Rick Perry is out.
Yes.
Of the race.
Oh, pardon me. Out of the race.
Yeah, because there are those rumors in Texas.
Well, let's hope he wears the Heath Ledger jacket again.
Oh, that
from
would,
Brokeback
that would
at
help.
The press conference.
Yeah.
Yes, he will. Anyway, but more breaking news. Again, Politico reporting he will endorse Newt Gingrich.
Right.
Wow. Newt Gingrich is just on TV saying he won't say anything bad.
He was on the Today Show.
Marianne, his wife. I'll be giving an interview to Nightline tonight.
You were like, Nightline is still on?
Still on? Really? Who hosts that? I don't.
They have a revolving cast of anchors.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so she may have a few things to say about a few things. Who knows how that's going to affect anything or not? You know?
Right.
I mean, this is like anybody's guess at this point. And then the other, but in case you've just tuned in, breaking news everywhere. So Santorum won Iowa, which we kind of figured. But it was confirmed. I just love this story. Rick Santorum edged front runner Mitt Romney by 34. So does that make Mitt Romney still the front runner? Who can say? He edged him by 34 votes at a surprise flip to the final results of the Iowa caucus, Republican officials said Thursday, or today. But no winner was declared because some votes remain missing in the event's closest finish ever.
Yeah, it seems that there was a lot of malfeasance going on with the voting.
Some
there.
Scampery.
Yeah, according to, I think it's the Des Moines Register has that article this morning.
Huh.
Yeah.
Romney had initially been considered the winner by just 8 votes. I don't even get any of this. New numbers, obviously, they're saying could give a boost to Santorum going into South Carolina on Saturday, though. In a statement, Romney called the Iowa results a virtual tie. Oh, that's funny. It wasn't a tie when he claimed it a resounding win by 8 votes. Now it's a tie.
Right.
When he wins by 34 votes.
Yeah.
What?
I point out that Brad Friedman of Brad Blog reported that Santorum won Iowa weeks ago.
He called on our show.
Exactly.
The other
day. Yeah.
By the way, Romney praised Santorum's, quote, strong performance in the state. Not win. That's funny. It was a win when it was him. But and at 34, let's carry the point. Yeah, considerably more than 8 votes.
Huh. If my math is correct.
Virtual tie. Mm-hmm. Interesting that. Yeah. Funny that. Hmm. What? I mean, and again, I don't get Iowa in the first place, not as a state, but as a caucus, because there's no delegates. I don't even get what the point of it is. I mean, it's not even, I guess it doesn't matter because there's no delegates awarded, but at the same time, it's a perceptual thing. So now there's been 2 contests, and Santorum's won one, and Romney's won the other one.
Iowa doesn't send delegates to the convention? Is that what, huh?
There's no delegates awarded from the Iowa caucus. It's a caucus. It's not a primary.
Okay, so
New Hampshire was a primary. South Carolina is a primary.
So who do they send to the convention?
I don't. That's what I'm saying. Somebody explain the point of the Iowa caucus to me. I don't get it.
Or is it just a different way of picking delegates?
I know there are no delegates awarded in Iowa. Even the guy said, "Oh well, there's votes. We can't really. It's just a tie." You know, let's just say, it's like what? Isn't that how you resolve?
Or is it an all or nothing state?
Some kind of pickup basketball game with kids? Like, oh, all right. Well, we don't know. We stopped counting.
Hmm.
Hmm. All right, who knows? This could change by the hour, by the minute, but a new South Carolina primary poll, Romney leads, but by a tighter margin. You have to love that the odious Newt Gingrich is narrowing the lead by saying odious racist things, not by saying any of the really true things about Mitt Romney and his tax problem and his, Bain problem and whatever. Mitt Romney leads among likely voters in Saturday's South Carolina primary, although Newt Gingrich trails in second by a diminishing margin, according to a new poll. This was just out yesterday. This one has 33%. It's a Time CNN poll. 33% Romney, 23% Gingrich. The new poll, of course, reflects a narrowing in the race just days before the primary. What are we? 2 days? We're 2 days out.
Right.
Saturday. The poll reflective of the closing momentum Gingrich is enjoying in South Carolina. I love this. I don't know whether they're saying it's on the strength of his attacks against Romney or I'm telling you, he's used that as an ad. That horrible racial moment with Juan Williams.
Mm.
In this poll, Santorum at 16% right now, Ron Paul at 13%, Little Dumber Boy was at 6%, which may have something to do with.
That could be.
Yes. In Florida, however, and again, this all, who the heck knows, this all could change. Florida right now, Romney is at 43%, Santorum at 19%, Gingrich at 18%, so he's way out ahead in Florida.
Okay. By the way,
what are you're looking at something.
No, Shano in the chat room says there are delegates awarded from Iowa. The caucus is just the way they're picked. It's not through a secret ballot like in a primary. It's through everyone gathering in a room and raising their hand, writing on a piece of paper. So the caucus is just the way they're picked. Iowa awards its delegates proportionally. Mm-hmm. That's what Shano is saying in the chat room.
All right. So. I still don't understand how. So then if it's a tie, what happened? I don't get it. You know what I'm saying?
The delegates are awarded proportionately.
Hmm.
So, yes.
All right. Mitt Romney is starting the man fight yesterday with Gingrich.
The speaker the other day at the debate was talking about how he created millions of jobs when he was working with the Reagan administration. Well, he'd been in Congress 2 years when Ronald Reagan came to office. That'd be like saying 435 congressmen were all responsible for those jobs. Government doesn't create jobs. It's the private sector that creates jobs.
Or outsources them if you're Mitt Romney. Yes.
Okay, Shano is clarifying. Romney, before and after this recount, had 6 delegates. Santorum had 6 delegates. So it's a toss-up. It really doesn't matter who came out on top, you know, just barely. Each one of them gets 6 delegates.
All right.
So.
Thank you.
Shano's on top of things.
Thank you, Shano.
He's the official lawyer-type person of the Stephanie Miller Show.
He just made like 6 montages while he was doing that.
Yeah.
He was typing information with one hand and making a montage with the other hand.
Right.
All right, Romney and Gingrich again.
Congressman taking responsibility or taking credit for helping create jobs is like Al Gore taking credit for the Internet.
Oh, God, that joke never gets old, even though it's completely not true. Oh, my gosh. Oh, God, they dusted that one off. Okay, that
Holy
was...
crap. It's awful.
Oh, boy. All right. I think tonight's debate's going to be awesome. It's on CNN, right?
Yeah, it's on CNN.
Okay. And, of course, don't forget Nightline. And you know what? And we still have more Newt Gingrich ex-wives to get to and mistresses.
Yes,
this
is
just one. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God! You know what? I'm also not going to say that it can't get better anymore because it can.
Yep.
DrudgeReport.com. 6 minutes after the hour. Never thought I'd say that. 1-800-STEP-12, right? Toll free from anywhere. You know what? Need I say again, God is clearly a Democrat, because you cannot write this storyline. For the Moral Values Party, the Family Values Party,
whatever.
So, Marianne Gingrich, Newt Gingrich's ex-wife, will be on Nightline tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. As the political world waits to hear what Newt Gingrich's ex-wife has to say about their failed marriage, an interview that will air later today, the reporter who conducted the interview said this morning, Marianne will claim that her husband, ex-husband wanted an open marriage.
Wow.
He came to her and said, I want to stay married to you and still have an affair with Calista, his current wife. According to Marianne, he said, you need to share me. Well, let me just say there is enough of them to go around. If you've been watching... and she said, I don't want to share, and the marriage ended.
Wow.
This is your Family Values Party today. This is just awesome.
I think that warranted that little siren that that Drudge had on his.
Yeah, that
the
warrants
siren's
that. Annoying, but that, okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
You're allowed
right.
there.
Oh, boy. Yikes. Okay, so...
Huh.
Mm. You know, gays should not get married, according to all Republican fields, because
right.
they don't have the family values.
Exactly.
Moral values like that.
Wow.
Okay, then. Which story do you go to first? So, this the headline yesterday had been, Newt urges Santorum and Perry to drop out. He was trying to Rickroll the Ricks.
Yes.
He wanted both of the Ricks to roll. One of them said, Little Dumber Boy said yes. He said yesterday, I'm respectful Rick has every right to run as long as he feels that's what he should do, but from the standpoint of a conservative movement, consolidating into a Gingrich candidacy would in fact virtually guarantee a victory on Sunday, and I'd be delighted if either Perry or Santorum wanted to do that. So Rick Perry, early this morning, the news broke, he is dropping out in less than an hour. We will go to his press conference. He will be endorsing Newt Gingrich.
Hmm. Okay, then. I wonder if that's going to change in light of breaking events.
I know. He may change his mind if he's on Drudge right now.
Oh, dear.
Oops. It's another oops moment for Rick Perry. He had time for one more, even without the debate tonight. Okay. Wow. This is just getting gooder. Newt Gingrich, Romney camp is dirty and dishonest. He said, I fully expect the Romney campaign to be unendingly dirty and dishonest. They thought they could buy this. They're discovering they can't buy this. I think they have internal polls showing them losing. I think they will do anything at any level, which is true.
Yeah.
It's actually true. Mitt Romney is just without any principle at all except insane ambition, which makes this
right.
a really exciting movie. And Gingrich, meanwhile, he's Newt Gingrich, for God's sakes. I mean, this interview tonight will just confirm what we've known. He's Newt Gingrich.
Newt open marriage Gingrich.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, as we said last hour, that is frankly the last thing Newt Gingrich wants is anyone that ever knew him being frank.
Frankly.
Because frankly.
Frankly.
That never ends well for Newty.
Frankly.
Oh, God. They're both so odious and unappealing.
Yeah.
Newt and Mitt, I just can't decide. And could it be? Could be God be that much of a partisan Democrat that Rick Santorum will actually be the nominee? I mean, oh, this is just... I don't even know what to say. Okay. Joe in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, there have been so many misstatements and untruths told in this Republican campaign. It's hard to believe, but I don't know why somebody let Mitt Romney get away with saying that the government doesn't create jobs. The last time I looked, the entire military, the entire defense industry, Homeland Security, Customs, Treasury, U.S. Park Service are all government-created jobs.
Thank you. So, the government does create jobs along with the private sector. And by the way, if we didn't have all these Republican governors firing all of our, you know, teachers and cops and firefighters, we, you know, the unemployment rate would be even better, right? It's because we're not, it's not keeping pace with the private sector job, you know, anyway. Thank you. Very good. Very good. All right. I'm like a kitten with like multiple feathers.
What are you doing here?
Because I don't know which catnip to go to first. It's under duress 2 days before the pivotal South Carolina primary. Mitt Romney acknowledges he has part of his millions invested in the Cayman Islands. Although his aides say he never used it as a tax haven. That's what the Cayman Islands are for!
That's the only reason the Cayman Islands exist!
I love this. Yesterday, his spokesman wouldn't say why. Because it's a tax haven!
Yes.
That's why. It's like, huh, the Cayman Islands. Well, that's so odd. We don't know why.
That's the only reason post office boxes in the Cayman Islands exist.
How much more insulting to Americans does he think he can be? Really? Yeah, that's not at all suspicious. What movie is that? What am I thinking of? The Tom Cruise movie, the, you know, Grisham thing, isn't that?
The Firm?
Yes, hey. The Cayman Islands is in every movie about greedy insiders hiding their money so they don't have to pay taxes.
And Swiss bank accounts.
Yes.
Yeah, they're
either
hand
or.
In hand.
Exactly.
Right. Maybe Bermuda.
Oh, God, no wonder Mitt Romney is getting desperate.
Yeah.
Headline, Anxious Romney Lights into Gingrich.
I was disappointed over the last couple of weeks to see one of my opponents attacking free enterprise just like the president was.
Oh.
That's not the role of the Republican Party. That makes us sad.
That makes us sad.
That makes baby Jesus cry. God, I love how awkward and inauthentic he is.
That makes us sad.
That makes Republicans cry.
I has a sad.
Makes me sad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Actually, of course, not criticizing free enterprise at all. Practicing free enterprise the way you and Bain did it.
Right.
Like the chop shop you ran did it. That makes baby Jesus cry when Republicans attack free enterprise. Can I hear that again? He's just so... All right. So Mitt Romney.
I was disappointed over the last couple of weeks to see one of my opponents attacking free enterprise just like the president was.
Mm.
That's not the role of the Republican Party. That makes us sad.
Disappointed! And sad.
That makes Daddy sad. That makes us sad. Who's us?
Us? I don't know.
Us others in the 1%. Us at my country club.
Yes. When you try and tax us, that makes us sad.
He's so phony. I just... Oh, God, I love it. He's just really sad.
But he can't cry because he doesn't have tear-making mechanisms.
Poor kids and uninsured people dying without insurance. No, that's not sad. Criticizing Bain Capital.
Yeah.
That makes us sad. That's the saddest... Let me take out my little tiny violin because that's really sad.
Yeah. When he takes out his tiny violin, just chunks of money come out with it. Oh, oops. Oh, gee.
Sorry. Upper lip quivering. Wow. Okay. Yeah, these stories just make me... Clear signs Mitt Romney is again worried about Newt Gingrich. He released two new negative web videos unleashed on attacking surrogates and even went after the former speaker himself. That was all before lunch on Wednesday.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. As we played earlier, throughout the Al Gore joke, which is, that's always a humdinger.
Oh, that's, yeah.
The source says Romney's internal polling for South Carolina shows the former Massachusetts governor in the low 30s, other candidates in the low 20s, but I it's anybody's guess, I think, at this point. Don't you? Gingrich's campaign has had a visible boost in their spirits, which could deflate after tonight, but for now, they're feeling perky. citing positive internal and public polling numbers in South Carolina, and as well as Sarah Palin's expression of support yesterday. Ooh, he got the big Caribou Barbie endorsement yesterday as well.
Oh, that helps.
Please and thank you also, too, in addition. It's just, it's hard to know. You know what? I'm like as flip-floppy as Romney, and I can't decide who to... They're all so awful and unqualified. I just keep switching sides. I'm like, yes, go, Newt. Oh no, he's awful. You're right. Yes, Mitt. I love this. Yeah, Gingrich, he loves this stuff. He eagerly responded to Romney, swatting at what he first thought was an attack from Romney's super PAC. But then when the reporters told him it was Romney's actual campaign, not the super PAC, mm-hmm. Gingrich got excited. Oh, goody, he said. He said, then my question back to Governor Romney is, show us how many Republicans you helped elect in the 80s when you weren't for Reagan and Bush. Show us how many problems you helped elect in 92 when you were voting as a Democrat for Paul Tsongas.
Oh,
no, he
didn't.
Snap. Oh, my God. He is. I cannot wait for tonight's debate. What time is it, the CNN debate tonight? Do we know?
Oh, gosh. I can check real quick.
Oh, and there's the Governor Soros from New Jersey, Chris Christie, making things worse yesterday.
Yeah.
About Romney's tax problem.
What I would say to Governor Romney is, if you have tax returns to put out, you know, you should put them out. You put them out sooner rather than later, because it's always better, in my view, to have complete disclosure, and especially when you're the front runner.
How quick do you think Mitt Romney got on the phone to the Governor Soros? How quick do you think his cell phone rang? For Pete's sake, I can't release my tax returns. I'm running for president. What is wrong with you, you tub of lard? What is... I think he's really mean to Christine in private. That's just, I'm just going to guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be? I'm just...
That's why he didn't run, because it is so mean. I'm telling you, it's Lord of the Flies over there.
Yep.
Chris Christie knew someone would kill him with a rock and smash his glasses. So that's why he's not in.
Okay.
Oh, yay! All I want to say is yay for the whole Republican field this year. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Stephanie Miller.
I am so going all Gladys Kravitz this morning. I cannot get off the Drudge Report. 23 minutes after hour of the Stephanie
Never thought
Miller
I'd
show.
Heard you say those words.
So the reporter that interviewed Newt Gingrich's ex-wife, Marianne Gingrich,
yes,
that will air tonight on Nightline. Yes.
Brian Ross is a great reporter, by the way.
He said, I think the most dramatic thing from the point of view of people looking at Gingrich and his campaign about character and that he's asked for God's forgiveness, blah, 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 and he believes in the sanctity of marriage is her allegation that what Gingrich wanted from her was an open marriage. She talked about how he called her and told her he loved her, knowing that Calista was next to him in bed in their apartment in Washington.
Oh, God. Wow.
And asked her to share him. Wow-wee. And there was Calista sitting there in bed with her eyes wide open.
And her hair perfect.
Because, as you know, she has no eyelids.
Right.
All right. maybe that hadn't developed yet, the lack of eyelids. So, you know, she was willing to share him at that point. Now, you know, now she can watch him 24/7, so she's not sharing.
Right, yeah.
It's a genetic mutation, I'm just saying, when you're married to that big a cheater. Okay, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Donna in Louisiana. Hey, Donna.
Hey, how are you doing, Stephanie?
I'm really, you know, too good today. Really am.
Well, listen, I was taking in the news about Newt and his desires or whatever, and it occurred to me. This revelation came. I think he's a closet Mormon.
Yeah, he could steal those pro-polygamous people from Mitt Romney's camp.
They can't tell anybody because there was too many Mormons in the race anyway.
Yeah. Donald, let me ask you something. What's going to hurt more, Newt's infidelity or Romney's tax problem?
I really don't care.
Yes, either of them, they're horrible. Either of them.
It depends on what state it's going on in. Right now, yeah. South Carolina, their big Republican South Carolina, their big thing is family values. I think this is going to hurt Gingrich more in South Carolina. But once you get to northern states.
Yeah, they had already had this discussion about coalescing behind one conservative candidate to beat Romney. Mm-hmm. But they backed Rick Santorum.
Right.
What's his name? Tony Perkins and company.
Because
I think you're right. Everybody knows this stuff about Gingrich. I think at the end of the day, they just couldn't do it. They're like, we can't. A serial adulterer. We just can't do it. We can't credibly say this is the family values candidate. This is the moral values candidate. So, I mean, this is just. And then the other breaking news, in case you've just tuned in, for God's sakes, Rick Santorum won Iowa, as it turns out.
Huh?
By 34
the world
points.
Is all upside down this morning.
It's all cattywampus. By 34 votes, or as Mitt Romney called it, a virtual tie. Huh?
It wasn't a virtual tie
It was a landslide when he won by 8 votes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now it's anybody's guess. And Rick Perry out, in case you would not have heard that breaking
news.
Out
of the race.
Out of the race.
There are rumors.
Okay. And in about a half an hour, we will go live to his press conference. He is endorsing Gingrich. So this is the cattywampusness has just gotten cattywampuser.
He may not endorse Gingrich now.
An hour ago, Politico was reporting he was going to endorse Gingrich.
Oh, God.
This reminds me of school lunches some days back in the Catholic school. It's like, oh, God, nothing. Nothing looks good, really.
Yeah, Rick Perry is a hardcore Christian conservative. That was his thing. I don't know how he can endorse Newt Gingrich now that this news is out that he's a swinger.
Yeah, he's a swinger.
Well, is there any other word for it?
I don't know. And the stuff that you'd think would be really bad, like Romney's having money parked in the Cayman Islands, so not only is he not paying his fair share, he's avoiding paying any taxes in America by parking his money offshore. It's just, what can you say this morning? Amy in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Amy.
Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good. I'm unnecessarily giddy this morning.
Oh, me too.
I'm doing the backstroke in Schadenfreude, but go ahead.
I just wanted to mention Newt Gingrich's wife's hair reminds me of Sally's hair on Davy and Goliath.
Oh, yes, like perhaps.
It's so stiff, it just never moves.
Yeah, it's like she uses Viagra on it or something. Yeah, exactly. All right.
She's called a doctor after 4 hours.
Yes, that doesn't go down for, I'm sure, I last way more than 4 hours.
Yeah.
Her hair stiffness, exactly. Politico report, Romney's toxic tax problem. Oh, Politico, back when you thought this was the biggest story of the day. A few hours ago. For Mitt Romney, the choice is stark. He can stop equivocating and cough up the tax returns his rival Republicans and reporters are clamoring for, or he can make an audacious effort to reverse a precedent started by his father.
Yep.
As the White House so subtly pointed out yesterday. To reverse a president that's been placed for more than four decades, there's virtual unanimity among veterans of presidential politics that Romney has no choice but to disclose. What's left is a mystery. What could Romney be thinking with his slow striptease? Tuesday's revealed that he pays an effective 15% rate in which he initially raised the prospect he would try not to release his tax returns. He's now indicating at least partial disclosure in the spring, but has not been specific about how many years he would make available. He's saying maybe one.
Mm.
The awkwardness with it, which Romney's handling the question, and pretty much any question,
right.
including a halting performance of the debate Monday night, is proving to be a serious distraction and serious fun as well. All right, Representative Paul Tonko next of the great state of New York on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Years ago, back in the coast, eh?
Stephanie Miller.
Just a kid. Of course, you got a lot of style, a lot of class, you know.
A lot of what?
Class, yeah. She had a lot of class. But, of course, when she opened her mouth, you didn't know what she was talking about. She was a hillbilly Renoki.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. We will join Rick Perry's press conference live to announce him dropping out of the race and endorsing Newt Gingrich. 1-800-STEP-12,
we'll
phone
see.
Number toll-free from anywhere. Things could change. They change quickly in this race. It's fluid, as they say.
As they say.
for so many reasons. Let's check in with our good friend, Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York. Are you enjoying this primary as much as I am, Representative?
I am, Stephanie. It's quite an interesting process to watch. And by the way, I think you are glad.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, that makes one of you. Now, Representative, what I mean, it is really anybody's guess what's going to happen even Saturday in South Carolina. What is your take on the primary thus far?
Well, I would assume with all of the attention paid to the 15% level for candidate Romney for his burden on taxes, it's probably going to make this this primary race a lot tighter than was anticipated. And with the announcement by Governor Perry today and his endorsing former Speaker Gingrich, then I think, again, adds to the narrowing of the race.
Wow. Are you calling from inside a subway tunnel or... We're having a hard time hearing you this morning, Congressman.
Oh, are you? Let's see if I, hold on. Is this any better?
A tiny bit. Yeah. All right. Okay. Representative, what is your take on how all this is going to, I mean, obviously you've heard the news that Rick Santorum actually won Iowa. You know, is Mitt Romney still the front runner? What do you think is going to happen in South Carolina?
Well, I think it's anybody's guess right now. I think the race is tightening, and, you know, it seems as though the institutional efforts are behind former Governor Romney. But, you know, it's interesting how none of that field is talking about what America wants to hear about. That is, what are you going to do to create jobs? You know, they've heard enough criticism and critiquing of President Obama. But they want to know what your plan is for the economic vitality, and people are... You know, still concerned about the employment issues out there. If they have a job, they're worried about keeping it. If they don't have a job, they're worried about finding a job.
Yeah.
And one that utilizes their skills.
I agree. I think that's part of the problem. While it's entertaining for those of us in the comedy field, it really is just incredibly nasty and personal. And you're absolutely right. They're not really talking about any of the issues. They're so busy, you know, attacking each other. And I think at a time like this, I think we just got some new numbers today, didn't we, Chris? That, I mean, obviously we're heading in the right direction on jobs, correct?
Right. I think that what you're seeing in all the polling out there, and it's pretty universal, is that President Obama continues to grow very favorable. And, you know, I find it interesting with the unemployment stats where they are and with some of the dynamics not quite as strong as they need to be yet. His favorability, one would expect, would be a lot lower, and it's quite high for those given dynamics. And I think it's proof positive that people have this faith and trust that while they would like a recovery to be a lot quicker and deeper than it is, they, I think, trust that this is a move in the right direction and are growingly unwilling to give the keys back to the people who drove the car into the ditch.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's particularly last year coming off this payroll tax extension debacle on the Republican side.
Which is about to begin again, by the way.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've just got our short extender, and we've been calling as a Democratic caucus in the House of Representatives to get back to work. I think it's like 4 or 5 days worth of obsession during the month of January, all of us knowing that the time threshold here looms large for the extension of a payroll tax benefit for the middle class. And it's just amazing to me that there isn't fuller discussion going on right now as to the pay for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that certainly, you know, you and I are discussing it. The president's discussing it. You know, this is like a sideshow, the Republican primary at this point. And I think, you know, you look at what happened in Wisconsin yesterday and 1 million signatures to recall Scott Walker. And I've been out there a lot, you know, doing the sexy liberal tour. And I'm telling you, there is an unprecedented backlash coming, in my opinion. Go ahead.
Right. I was going to say, Stephanie, that I think that a lot of people may have expressed anger and fear, which is understandable. This is a tough time. The Bush recession left us with 8.2 million jobs lost for Americans. And so there was a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of instability, fiscal instability for families across this country. And so it's understandable to the sense the fear and the anger. But if that's what guided many people at the polls, they may not like what they sense to represent them.
Yeah.
And that outcome, I think, is now being tested. And I do not believe that the extreme approach and the cut for the sake of cutting approach is what people wanted. They wanted thoughtful government. They wanted effective government. They wanted us to solve some of these immense problems out there. And this is not what they expected. And so I think this surge might be short-lived. And you're seeing governors like that of Wisconsin and Ohio who have been under the test now because they took the liberty of believing that people wanted something other than smart and effective government.
Yep.
And so I think it's an interesting juncture right now.
It's a good day to be us. Representative Tonko, we always so appreciate your time, and we'll keep checking in with you as election year continues. Thanks so much.
Okay, Stephanie, have a great day.
You too.
It's always great to join you and your listeners.
All right. Thank you, sir. There he goes, Representative Paul Tonko, great state of New York. Okay. You know how we play, like, one clip after another about people on Fox and whatever going, well, if Warren Buffett wants to pay more than what he throws the check into him. Well,
yeah.
Warren Buffett just wrote a check
to
the United States Treasury for just over $49,000 to help pay down the national debt.
Wow.
He took the bait. All right. God. All right, so back to Mitt Romney's tax problem. Barack Obama released 6 years' worth of tax returns by March 2008 and has released them every year he's been in the White House, making it worse. As I mentioned earlier, in the White House mentioned, the person who set the precedent of releasing returns that every major presidential candidate has since followed was Romney's father,
yep,
who put out 12 years worth of before his own 1968 run. One strategist said, it doesn't seem to make sense to me. Now that he's really put himself into a box on this, he's going to have to release them sooner than April. My guess is there's lots of fun stuff in there.
Yeah.
Oh. Even, I mean, Gingrich got in a good one. He said, I think we ought to rename our flat tax. We have a 15% flat tax. Maybe that should be the Mitt Romney flat tax. And then all Americans could then pay the rate Romney paid.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that makes no sense either.
Right.
That would blow a giant hole in the deficit. I mean, how could you possibly reduce revenue like that, that everybody pays? I mean, what makes sense is for people like Mitt Romney to pay more than 15%, to pay their fair share. Ugh. Okay, Newt Gingrich.
I fully expect the Romney campaign to be unendingly dirty and dishonest for the next 4 days because they are desperate. They thought they could buy this.
Good point.
Yep.
Okay. This is still my Newt surge until the thing tonight, and then he's probably toast when the open marriage thing comes out.
Yeah.
All right. Gingrich on the tax thing.
My goal is not to raise Mitt Romney's taxes, it's to let everybody pay Mitt Romney's rate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to choose. Everybody has such spectacularly bad ideas on their side, don't they?
Yeah.
I cannot. This may be my favorite part of the tax thing, though, is the Cayman Islands.
Mm-hmm.
Facing new controversy, Romney's campaign confirmed he has money in the Cayman Islands, but said he was not getting a tax break.
God.
That's
right.
Why the Cayman Islands exist, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Gingrich, by the way, disclosed he pays almost twice, more than twice what Romney pays in taxes. He said that he paid 31% on his income tax in 2010.
That's average, sure.
Romney has millions of dollars of personal wealth and investment funds set up in the Cayman Islands, known as a tax haven for Americans. The report said Romney had the ability to pay a lower tax rate by investing in funds located offshore. No kidding. A spokeswoman for Romney's campaign confirmed the Romneys have money in the Caymans, but the campaign didn't say why. Well, it could be because it's a tax haven for Americans, as I just read in the sentence right before that.
ABC News sent a reporter down to the Cayman Islands to check out Bain Capital's office.
It's like, just like the firm. Uh-huh.
It's a post office box.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's Bain Capital's office.
Oh.
Yep.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's like listening to cost cut. You don't actually have to have an office.
No.
Lights
who
and
needs
people
that?
And equipment. Just one key, and you're in.
There you go.
Into your little box. Romney's spokesman said ABC is flat wrong. The Romney's investment in funds established in the Cayman Islands are taxed in the very same way they would be if those funds were established in the United States. Right. They are not tax haven, and it's false to say so. Really? Well, then why don't you just release your tax returns today? So we can just nose around up in there and make sure that's all true.
If it's not a tax haven, why doesn't he have his money here instead of
I know. Interesting.
There.
Yeah. Interesting. Romney, meanwhile, tried to duck the issue entirely yesterday, making no mention of his tax returns or tax rate at all, and declining to take questions from the news media. Yeah, and then we played earlier the Governor Soros, I think, made it worse. He said he urged Romney to put out his tax returns sooner rather than later.
Release your taxes.
Boom, bada boom. And he's a Romney surrogate.
Yeah, he is.
That was on the Today Show yesterday. yeah, I mean, and this is like, and now he's making it worse for himself. As we were saying, he's saying in April, when the GOP race presumably would be decided already.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, tell you what, you give me the nomination, and then I'll give you
the info you need with
my
which...
returns, which will make me unelectable in the general election. What? It's a gaffe a day for him. The whole not very much comment.
It's a gaffe a day for everybody.
Yeah.
On this.
Oh, I know.
In this Republican field, it's hysterical.
His pain. I mean, but I have to say, of all these spectacular, out of touch things he's said, that may be the best. That he said what he made from paid speech is not very much, and then he chuckles, that country club chuckle.
Yeah.
$374,000 last year.
I wouldn't mind that.
That alone puts him in the top 1%.
Right.
It's just he doesn't even get it. He doesn't, I mean, first you have the $10,000 bet, then joking that he's been unemployed, too. He's just, he's such a nerd. He's just such a douche.
Yeah. Can you pay me $370,000? It's not much, according to Mitt Romney, Stephanie.
Why, excuse me, it was 374. Well, I'll throw in the extra 1,000 because it's not very much. I've got that in my couch. 46 minutes after the hour. Oh,
wow.
God, this is good. We are nearing Rick Perry's press conference as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, minutes away from Rick Perry's press conference, dropping out of the race, endorsing Newt Gingrich.
We'll see.
Or not. Depending on how he's taking the news. That Newt Gingrich reportedly wanted an open marriage and wanted his ex-wife to share him with Calista.
Oh, my.
Making God. Newt Gingrich a swinger.
All righty, then.
He might as well put his key in a bowl at the at the front door.
Okay.
God.
You know what? Well, when he drops out, he can do ads for Ashley Madison.
There you
All
go.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. There's so much to talk about it. There's so much comedy on. Who knows by Philadelphia what we'll be talking
Philadelphia,
about.
Philadelphia, we progressives hold these truths to be self-evident, that all sexy liberals are created equal, and that we are endowed by the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, laughter, and the pursuit of silliness. On February 4th, 2012, the comedy tour that is taking the country by storm will perform live at the Merriam Theater, featuring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the tastiest of all tasty cakes, Stephanie Miller.
Yummy!
Tickets are available online at KimmelCenter.org or by calling 215-893-1999.
Nah, nah, nah.
Philadelphia, come show your favorite progressives some of your brotherly love. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on February 4th at the Merriam Theater. Philly, these liberals will be sure to ring your Liberty Bell.
Thank you, Philadelphia.
Love it's sexy, huh?
Yay!
Yeah.
Get it, everybody. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Check it out. We aren't going to be getting to New York or D.C. anytime soon. We're booked almost to the end of the year.
Right.
So get it. Get it, East Coast. Get to Philly February 4th. It's going to be a par. Tay.
Yes.
All right, because just this morning's news already is like 7 comedy shows put together.
Yeah.
For instance, our listeners, helpers, you know that we're helpers.
Right.
And Julie from Seattle with a helper, debate question for tonight.
Okay.
A little submission for CNN.
All right.
Debate question for Newt tonight. Question, your second wife, Marianne Gingrich, claims in a new interview that you asked her for an open marriage. Do you think Mitt Romney's Mormon polygamous ancestors had a point?
Oh. Oh, dear.
Just saying.
Oh, that's a good one.
We'll have to leave it there.
I don't know
if
Wolf is moderating or not. I don't know who's moderating tonight. I hope it's Anderson.
Anderson! Anderson, why? I don't... what? I'm speaking. It's my time. That was an eerie Mitt Romney impression, wasn't it?
It was.
Jim's in an audition, so he's not here today, so I have to fill in.
Yeah.
I'm speaking. Do you think he actually meant to repeat that, or the Romney bot just, like, malfunctioned?
Speaking.
It's my time. All right. They had to reboot him, perhaps.
Yes.
All right. Nudie, yesterday.
If we carry Saturday, I think I will become the nominee.
Newt. Yes, he was trying to Rickroll both of the Ricks yesterday. He wanted them both rolled out of the race. Rick Perry, of course, said yes.
Yes.
And will drop out and endorse him, apparently, in just a few minutes. Rick Santorum yesterday.
The hubris, and I might even go so far as to say the arrogance of Speaker Gingrich to suggest that I don't have the experience to run a campaign, to win a national campaign, having won four elections in four heavily Democratic districts and states. He ran in one of the heaviest Republican suburban districts of Georgia, with diversity being non-existent in his electoral plans, that makes him more qualified than me.
He's got a little screechy.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you something?
What?
You know, I'm not much of a big idea person.
Right.
But when I get a big idea...
What's your big idea? What's the big idea?
Because now it's getting really desperate, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's like last-minute time in South Carolina.
It is.
What seems to be working for Gingrich is the blatant racism is what's working.
Yes.
Not the Bain stuff, not the tax stuff, not the... none of that. It's the racist stuff. So Sarah Palin endorsed him yesterday. He needs to have Dr. Laura come and endorse him and yell the N-word like a 10 times.
She's good at that.
Shoot scores! Newt, that's free. I'm not, you know, we have a lot of fancy campaign consultants on, and I'm just telling you, that was a golden idea for free that I put out there, Newt Gingrich.
Dr. Laura's good at yelling the N-word.
I'm telling you, you got to go way over the top now. You got to, it's not, no more time for dog whistles. Go. Okay, I'm just saying, see, that just, sometimes the wires in my brain, as Chardonnay soaked as they are, it's like, ha-ha, I've got a winner for you. This was just a headline yesterday, GOP campaign rhetoric raising racial concerns. Yeah, you think?
Oh, God.
I would posit to say, can you believe in 2012? I think this is the most racist Republican primary we've ever had.
The whole John McCain having a illegitimate black baby.
Oh, well, that was bad. This one, it's all of them. Hoping to win the hearts of Southern conservatives, Newt Gingrich leaned into his argument that President Obama is a food stamp president and that poor people should want paychecks. Well, black people is what he means. Not handouts. A pitch that earned him a standing ovation in South Carolina on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
A day later, he turned the moment complete with cheering conservative crowd into a TV ad. I'm telling you, with Rockstar with Freebird cheers in it. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a high-tech lynching of Juan Williams.
Yeah.
Boo! Black men asking white men question. How dare you?
Republicans in South Carolina aren't famous for their race relations, so they're just playing to the base.
Yes, rhetoric like that from Gingrich and other candidates is stoking concerns among some blacks that the political discourse is rewinding to the days of the Southern strategy, campaigning that uses blacks as scapegoats to attract white votes. One strategist said, I see it as a desperate strategy to draw in those voters in South Carolina would be a better testing ground because of its sizable black population. They pointed out that the percentage of blacks in New Hampshire and Iowa minimal compared to South Carolina, where apparently this stuff works.
Yeah.
If it works, one could expect to see it repeated in other primaries where blacks might be a force in state politics. I mean, yeah. And first of all, I looked at the numbers again. 49%, I thought it was 50, but 49% food stamp recipients white, 20% Hispanic. So that's 70% of food stamp recipients are not black.
Right.
That's the crux of why that was so racist. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm beside myself.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so we will join Rick Perry in his press conference live, and Ari Berman from The Nation joins us as well as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Get the best tweets.
Yeah.
So Frank Luntz is going to start calling open the marriage freedom marriage.
Yes.
Now that Newt Gingrich apparently
exactly.
was in one. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. We will join the Rick Perry press conference live. In the meantime, Ari Berman of The Nation, our good friend.
Wow.
I want to dive right in with you in case we get preempted by the little dumber boy. good morning, Ari.
Hey, it's quite a morning, quite a week.
Wow, Ari, what a week to be us. Are we having too much fun now?
At least it got interesting again.
Yeah,
I mean,
did.
Ari, what is going on? So the Politico has their latest poll. Romney at 37 and Gingrich at 30, of course, you know, which they're saying he's within striking distance. It's hard to keep track now. And meanwhile, any minute, Rick Perry's going to drop out and reportedly endorse Gingrich, although do you think he won't in the light of all of this news?
I think he can throw all of his 2% support to Newt at this point.
Right.
You know, if Stephen Colbert endorsed Gingrich, then we could really be talking. Because he is. I love how Stephen Colbert has forced both John Huntsman and Rick Perry out of the race after outpolling both of them.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. I mean, obviously, I'm in New York, not in South Carolina. I mean, it's hard to know if Newt is really closing and will win, or if the media has a vested interest in him winning to make this race more interesting, or both. But I do think he's probably consolidating some Tea Party support, and the more that he can be the anti-Romney and push Santorum aside, the better chance he has in South Carolina.
Right, but Ari, let's look at the alternative, too. The news comes out this morning. Rick Santorum actually won Iowa. You know, you're going to have this damaging, you know, interview tonight with Newt Gingrich's ex-wife. Is there a chance Santorum is the surprise winner in South Carolina?
No, I don't think in South Carolina, no, just because there's not enough time. I have to say, though, with regards to the Iowa results, it's incredibly ironic the GOP has been running around saying that Democrats are committing voter fraud.
Yeah.
And they can't even get their own election straight.
Yeah.
And you'd think that, you know, the first election in the nation could figure out who the winner is.
Right, you know. And I don't even get that. He said, you know, apparently Santorum's ahead by 34 points, but he said, we're just going to call it a tie because there's some votes missing.
There's eight precincts missing. Yeah, eight precincts just are completely missing.
What?
So, I mean, I've definitely been to Iowa caucuses and thought this is a really disorganized way to hold an election, so I'm not necessarily surprised this happened, but I still thought that they would be able to get their ducks in a row a little bit better, given the significance of the contest. Santorum may be better placed in the long run, honestly, to be the anti-Romney because he has less baggage.
Mm-hmm.
The Gingrich interview with his ex-wife is probably just the beginning of these type of stories if the race narrows. That said, I mean, the longer this race is going on, the worse things seem to be for Romney. It seems like every single day there's another comment he makes or another thing that comes out about his background that just shows that I think he may be fairly ill-served to be the nominee at a time of economic distress.
Well, absolutely. But, Ari, you know, you wrote a great piece this week, the GOP's race problem. I mean, ironic that it's not the stuff about Romney's tax problems or Bain problems that seem to be, you know, making Gingrich close the gap. It's his, you know, his blatant race baiting, isn't it?
I can't say I'm surprised, given that it's the Republican primary in South Carolina. But I mean, it is very disturbing that the comment that Newt made that got all the Republicans excited was when he called Barack Obama the food stamp president, which is obviously coded racial rhetoric that he's mentioned before, but that he keeps saying. And number one, it's not really true. I mean, it is technically true that more people are on food stamps now than before, but the context is completely lacking, which is that the food stamp program was expanded under George W. Bush, and the Great Recession forced many more people onto food stamps than would normally be there. It wasn't some grand design by the Obama administration to do this, although to the extent that we have a recession, it does make sense to have people take advantage of that program. But Gingrich is clearly doing dog whistle politics right now in South Carolina. And I think this is very short-sighted by all the Republicans to do this because, I mean, the 2008 electorate was the most diverse in U.S. history. And the 2012 election may not be as diverse, but it's still going to be very, very diverse. And so not only Gingrich, but also Romney saying that ex-felons shouldn't have voting rights or saying over and over that he's going to veto passage of the DREAM Act, taking a very harsh anti-immigration stand. I mean, that's also going to hurt him in the general election as well.
Well, as you write this week, who needs a dog whistle when you're in a state where the Confederate flag still flies atop the State House grounds? I mean, you know, that's what I mean. It just, this is, it always gets nasty in South Carolina, doesn't it? But this year, it just seems particularly bad, as you so aptly write.
It's not quite the extent of George W. Bush insinuating that John McCain had an illegitimate black child. Mm-hmm. I mean, that kind of takes the cake, but it still is surprising because you would have thought on Martin Luther King Day of all days,
right,
they would have at least made an effort, at least some boilerplate about racial tolerance and diversity. Instead, they jumped right in. I mean, you had Rick Perry saying that South Carolina is at war with the federal government. I mean, anyone who knows the history of that state knows that's a racially coded statement as well. You had Newt Gingrich's comments. I mean, you have a whole history of rhetoric here. I mean, it's funny when Ron Paul, of all people, is saying that Martin Luther King would support him after he's published scores of racist newsletters. You know there's a problem within the GOP on this issue.
Ari, I'm so sorry. Going to join Rick Perry live. Terrific as always, and we hope to talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
All right, Ari Berman of the Nation.
The work that you've done, and Mari, you and Rick and Victoria, y'all were awesome. Nelson, thank you. It's just been a real privilege to be able to learn and to grow under your work. And you know, as I've stated numerous times during the campaign,
little dumber boy, I'm sad. I'm a sad.
This campaign's never been about the candidates. It's I ran for president because I love America. I love our people. I love our freedom. And as a matter of fact, this mission is greater than any one man. As I've traveled across this great country, starting here in Charleston, going to New Hampshire and Iowa, California, down into Florida.
Was he getting drawlier?
Numerous states in between,
so.
Obviously. And I discovered this tremendous purpose and mm-hmm. resiliency of our people.
Resilience.
They never lost hope, despite the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Mm-hmm. They hadn't stopped believing in the promise of America.
He really is like a less educated George W. Bush.
The American dream.
Yeah. Without all that intellect and humility.
Yeah.
But we can never be counted out. We're too great a people for that. What's broken in America is not our people.
Mm-hmm.
It's our politics.
They're smart enough to know that you shouldn't be president.
Is a place that is humbler, with a federal government that is smaller, so that our people can live freer. I entered this campaign offering a unique perspective, a governor who had led a large state, leading the nation in job creation, an executive leader who had implemented conservative principles, a son of tenant farmers, who was born with little more than a good name.
I'd like to endorse serial adulterer.
The great opportunity
my
and
friend,
freedom.
Swinger Newt Gingrich.
But I've never
freedom marriage.
The cause of conservatism is embodied by one individual. Our party and the conservative philosophy transcends any one individual.
Sure.
It's a movement of ideas that are greater than
they're all awful.
Any one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
doesn't matter which one. All,
we'll live
all of you off.
Long past.
Is he going to announce that he's going to join Newt Gingrich in an open marriage?
As a former
an open gay marriage.
Yeah.
Get confused. I know we can't lose track of the ultimate objective in carrying out our mission.
He's not a strong speaker.
And that objective is not only to defeat President Obama, but to replace him with a conservative leader who will bring about real change.
Mm-hmm.
Our country's hurting. Make no mistake about that.
Okay.
13 million people out of work. 50 million of our citizens on food stamps. $15 trillion national debt
and growing. Mm-hmm. We need bold, conservative leadership that will take on the entrenched interest and give the American people their country back. I've always believed the mission is greater than the man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As I've contemplated the future of this campaign,
did he say contemplated?
I have come to the conclusion that there is no viable path forward for me in this 2012 campaign.
No, not so much.
Therefore, today, I am suspending my campaign.
There it is again, suspension.
And endorsing Newt Gingrich
for
President of the United States.
He's sticking with Newt.
I believe Newt is a conservative visionary who can transform our country.
Moral values.
We've had our differences, which campaigns will inevitably have.
Believe in one wife at a time.
And Newt is not perfect, but
we know that.
Who among us is?
Yeah, exactly.
The fact is,
totally,
there is forgiveness for those who seek God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in the power of redemption, for it is a central tenet of my Christian faith.
You kind of need to ask for redemption after you ask your wife to have an open marriage.
Gingrich has the heart of a conservative reformer, the ability to rally and captivate the conservative movement, the courage to tell those Washington interests to take a hike, if that's what's in the best interest of our country.
Yes, and a lobbyist is absolutely
Texan,
the best person for
I've never shied away from a fight. Mm-hmm. Particularly when I considered the cause to be righteous.
Particularly when I got a gun and it's
a coyote. Someone who's always admired a great, if not the greatest, Texas governor, Sam Houston, I know when it's time to make a strategic retreat.
Enough with the Texas bravado, please.
So I will leave the trail, return home to Texas,
cowboy.
Down my 2012 campaign. And I will do so with pride. Knowing
done good.
I gave
what you did is real
fully
good.
Of myself, of a cause worthy of this country.
Yeah.
As I head home, I do so with the love of my life by my side.
Just one.
Yeah, at least you only had one.
Who makes every day good.
Oh.
When she is there.
That's kind of sweet.
That's my wife, Anita.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, no tongue. Okay.
Honey, thank you for all you've done. She has been an incredible patriot.
What?
During this process.
So was Newt Gingrich, and that's why he had to get
also
so much tail.
I also want to thank my son, Griffin, and his beautiful wife, Meredith. Sydney, who is not with us here today. But the fact is, with a good wife, with three loving children, and a loving God who is in my life, things are going to be good no matter what I do. I'm proud of the policies we put forward to the American people, and I believe that we provided the right path forward for our party and our nation.
Yeah, sure. It's been a spectacular
overhaul
year
Washington.
For you guys.
Providing, I think, the roadmap for that. Proclaiming the 10th Amendment and all the goodness of allowing the states to be more competitive in the local governments. Creating energy and energy security,
for Texas
energy
to execute
jobs
this campaign,
and
security. Really, yeah. And this
cutting
press conference.
Spending, eliminating these unnecessary federal agencies.
Cutting which ones?
Taxes to
which
that
ones?
Flat and simple, 20%. And I'll continue to fight for these conservative reforms because the future of our country is at stake.
Sure. Yes.
And the road we're traveling today.
It's all on you.
President Obama's road.
Mm-mm.
Is a very dangerous
socialist
one.
Road built by socialists.
I want to thank some wonderful individuals who I've come to know and admire and who've stood by my side in this state. Caden Dawson, thank you, brother, for all
you're
the work
awesome,
that you've
girl.
Done and the loyal.
Today you've been awesome,
just,
girl.
Just being the loyal supporter that you've been, a strong and a good man in the United States Congress, Mick Mulvaney. Ambassador.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's take a break. That's kind of petered out.
Yeah. When you get into the individual thank yous, it's time for the music to start
whatever.
Playing.
It's time for the hook. Yeah. What if this were the Golden Globes? He would have been long gone.
Yeah.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Everybody, everybody, get into it.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm all get started. I'm all get started. Get it started. Let's get it started.
Ha.
Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
Ha. Come on, it's getting fun now. Politics is fun again. 24 minutes after the hour. Docs in Massachusetts, my fellow political news geek, in a little frenzy for tonight. Hey, Docs.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, God, I cannot wait for tonight when Newtek's wife comes up and spills the beans about all the stuff that he's done. Oh, he wanted an open marriage. Oh, he's a horrible person. Oh, he raped and killed a girl in 1990. I hope he said stuff like that. I'm so excited.
Oh, man.
I was so
raped and killed a girl? Where did you...
I'm just pulling that out of nowhere.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. Listen, there's been enough breaking news this morning. Yeah. I don't know what that was.
There have been enough real bombshells this morning.
Yes. Chris in Yankton writes, WTF is Perry rambling on about? Is there a point to all this, or is he doing a dumbass Texas politician's version of jazz improv? he was scat singing.
Yeah.
He was scatting.
Scooby-dooby-dooby-dooby.
Scooby-dooby-dooby-doo. Julie sends us the breaking news. Hang on a second here. Hey, here we go. Hang on. South Carolina polls average, only a 1.3-point lead for Mitt at this point. Wow. I wonder if they're going to ask him about the interview stuff tonight at the debate. Gingrich.
I would imagine,
because it's Gingrich news already.
Yeah, but Gingrich has already commented on it, and he probably just give the same answer they gave the Today Show this morning.
Frankly, I wish he would stop being so frank, frankly. Yeah. What did he say? He just said, oh, I'm not going to say anything bad about her?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he has all his surrogates go out and say bad stuff about
exactly.
her.
Exactly.
Yeah. But she's bitter and all the same stuff they always say.
Right.
Bitter, angry, liar, you know.
Whatever.
Whore.
But they'll probably just, they have the Herman Cain on the phone today. Could you give us some other adjectives for lying bitches?
Do you got your thesaurus out, Herman?
All right. Rick Santorum on the campaign trail yesterday.
We have to look at how we're spending our money. In the area of Medicare, it is incredibly inefficient. The Medicare system is simply like Romney Care in Massachusetts. It's an incredibly high-cost way of providing care that leads to overutilization of care, that leads to doctors being undercompensated. It's going to lead to longer and longer waiting lines.
So obviously the breaking news is one of the many is Rick Santorum actually won Iowa,
yep.
Which we had previously speculated was the case. So, I don't know. We've got a debate tonight, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern, and then the Nightline thing will air later, in which Newt Gingrich's ex-wife will talk about how he helped her, asked her for an open marriage.
Yes. And Dave tweeted, so, Senator Man on Dog beat Governor Dog on Car in Iowa.
Yay! That's a good one.
There you go.
Okay. Meanwhile, I just think Newt Gingrich is going to start yelling the N-word. That's what I think. I do. That seems to be, there's stories everywhere, GOP campaign rhetoric raising racial concerns. I just, it's hard to tell what's
yep.
resonating in South Carolina. And it's all of them. Rick Perry heading back to the N-word head ranch. Rick Santorum, of course, you know, with his, well, see, he's probably just going to say, of course I didn't say black people are
bleeding.
Of course I said black people black. When he said, I don't want to make black people's lives better by giving them somebody else's money. I love the fact that, who said that earlier? Ron Paul, maybe the least racist. Who has a string of racist newsletters for years and years and years. He chose the South Carolina Statehouse grounds surrounded by Civil War icons and the Confederate battle flag to talk Tuesday about states' rights.
Oh, God.
Dog whistle. Mm-hmm. To possibly ignore federal laws they don't like, which in the past, of course, would have included, you know, civil rights, voting
right.
laws, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney spent Martin Luther King Day campaigning with anti-immigration activist Kris Kobach, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
He also said he would veto the DREAM Act. One strategist said, especially now that Romney has sewed up the moderates, this is a calculated move and is not some sort of slip. If politicians can successfully pit blacks against white, it creates the kind of contagion that will help mobilize support from extremists in the Republican Party. Jimmy Carter said as much the other day. He
right.
said, I wouldn't say he's racist, but he knows the subtle words to use to appeal to a racist group. This came right out of Lee Atwater's playbook, the
yes.
Late political strategist. We'll tell you what he wrote in his book about all this as we continue 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's definitely my favorite sin.
Oh, God, this gets better and better. 34 minutes after the hour, Newt Gingrich speaking live.
Reaching out to mayors and county commissions, mm-hmm. reaching out to state legislatures, mm-hmm. and then working with conservative legislators in Washington so that we can have a very strong platform plank in Tampa in August on the 10th Amendment, and we can have a very strong bill
There's
that
Calista.
We can put in the 21st century contract.
Someone on Twitter says she looks like a bald eagle.
And we can then pass
yeah.
that legislation no later than the end of the first
when
quarter.
It's just about to catch like a meerkat.
Yeah.
To return power to the citizens, the communities, and the states and get it out of Washington, D.C.
Come on, say something.
How can she be in South Carolina and not have her hair frizz from all that humidity?
And Governor Perry agreed that he would tackle that huge project, which is something he and I have talked about for several years. And so I'm just delighted. But I'm also burdened. And I want to share with you for a minute before we talk about national security.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't come here to ask you to be for me.
No.
Because if you're for me, you're going to vote, go home, and say, I sure hope Newt fixes it. Melissa and I come here to ask you to be with us for uh-huh. the next 8 years, because we need you by our side.
Can it be an open marriage?
Reminding the Congress,
or you expect us to be loyal?
State legislature,
what he's
the
asking
city
for?
Council, the county commission, the school board. We are all going to move America back onto the right track,
mm-hmm.
and we have to do it at every level of government simultaneously, and that requires citizen engagement.
Sure.
I also want you to be with me. Because the scale of change that we're talking about mm-hmm. is so large
yes.
that we're inevitably going to make mistakes.
Sure.
And we have
and
to have
ask
an open
God's
flow
forgiveness.
Of communication,
yeah.
whether it's Facebook
over
or,
and over again.
Or YouTube or email. We somehow have to learn from people
mm-hmm.
when things aren't working. We have to learn when there are new and better ideas. We have to learn when reality is changing. 537 elected officials cannot fix this country. They're not that smart.
Particularly not when you're in charge
and their
of them.
Staffs aren't that smart. But millions of citizens working together can, in fact, create an enormous difference. Finally,
mm-hmm.
oh. if we return power back home, if Governor Perry succeeds in this project that he and I have agreed on, and if we succeed in getting the Congress to truly transfer power back home, as we shrink Washington, we have to grow citizenship. And so I'm asking
right.
you to be with me.
Whatever.
As a
yes, with you.
Some in the chat
not
room.
Not exclusively, yeah. but would you be with me?
Some in the chat room says, I think Newt is getting so many endorsements because Calista keeps unhinging her jaw and looking hungry.
Okay. Yes, Ernest writes, because the Iowa news, Senator Man on Dog
right.
beat Governor Dog on Roof. Perry just endorsed Congressman Man on Woman 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 on Woman. La 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 la. Julie says they will ask Newt tonight, and he'll tear up and talk about being washed in the Jesus juice and his love for his family, and he'll win. I hope so. Oh, me too. Newt. Oh, by the way, things that have gone poof from the internet, Perry's anti-Newt website, magically
really?
Gone, along with John Huntsman's.
It's been wished out.
Anti-Mitt Newt wimsuit. Her websuit? Websuit?
Yeah.
Website.
Sure.
What?
It's been wished out into the cornfield.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Magically gone. Yeah, we were just saying how incredibly, we have been reading the story about how incredibly racist this primary has been, particularly in South Carolina, and we were saying that it's not even dog whistles anymore.
Right.
It's blatant. And this all started, as they were saying, what they call the Southern Strategy. Doesn't that sound delightful, like a mint julep or something?
On the veranda.
The late political operative Lee Atwater, a manager of George H.W. Bush's campaign, he actually wrote the whole word out in his book. He said you start out in 1954 by saying N-word, N-word, N-word. By 1968, you can't say N-word. That hurts you. Backfires.
Oh,
not because it would be the wrong thing to say, just because, see, that would hurt
yeah,
you politically.
It would backfire.
Be considered rude. So you say stuff like force busing, states' rights, and all that stuff. The book quotes Atwater as saying,
okay.
Oh, God.
Great.
This is your Republican Party. Oh, guess where Mittens
and
was.
And to think you voted for Ronald Reagan.
Oh, shush. Romney fundraises at the home of a Wall Streeter who compared closing tax loopholes to a Nazi invasion.
That's a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
Think progress, Randy. If Mitt Romney is trying to shed his image as an out-of-touch banker, yesterday did not help. On the same day the GOP frontrunner revealed he pays a much lower tax rate than many middle-class Americans. The founder and CEO of the world's largest private equity fund hosted Romney and a select group of other financial elites for a top-dollar fundraiser and strategy session at his ultra-posh Manhattan home.
Oh, boy.
How posh, you ask? It's the Park Avenue apartment of Stephen Schwarzman, the 66th richest person in the world, a 24-room triplex that once owned by John Rockefeller. He bought it for 30-something million. You know, they
give or take.
Track. Yeah. The highest price ever paid for a New York apartment at the time. One of the Koch suckers lives there. David Koch lives in the. He might have been spooning there yesterday with Scott Walker, comforting him about the 1 million signatures on the recall. Anyway, Schwarzman said it's a war of the struggle with the Obama administration over increasing taxes on private equity firms. It's like when Hitler invaded Poland in 1939. What an exactly accurate analogy.
Oh my God.
People in the room apparently were even shocked. War? Hitler? Poland? A little over the top for a proposal to make hedge fund managers pay their fair share in taxes, one attendee said about the comments. So that's who Mittens hangs out with. That's why he tends to say the awkward things that he does. I think I've mentioned this before, though. Pretty much all the Republican candidates, all their plans are awful.
Yeah.
They all benefit the tax 1%. How the GOP candidates' tax plans would give huge tax breaks to South Carolina's richest 1%. South Carolina primary, of course, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
In South Carolina specifically, the candidates' plans would give tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands, depending on the plan, in tax breaks to the richest 1%. Like Mitt Romney. I believe this is from Think Progress. Nice table showing the smallest tax break for the richest 1% in South Carolina would be Romney's at about $69,000. Newt Gingrich wins the race for largest tax break for the 1% at more than $212,000.
Ah, okay.
So Newt Gingrich's president would actually be better for Mitt Romney's taxes than Mitt Romney's tax plan. In South Carolina, with a median income, Mitt, is about $43,000.
Yeah. Not $374,000.
The richest 1% have an average income of about $945,000. Overall, the GOP candidates' tax plans would give tax breaks to the wealthy that are up to 270 times as large as those as they deign to give the middle class. Romney, for instance, would raise taxes on half of middle-class families with children due to his elimination of an expanded child tax credit implemented by well-known socialist President Obama.
What? But I thought Obama raised taxes. I thought he didn't give tax credits.
Oh, by the way, Chris and Yankton pointing out, guys, I think we've forgotten one important thing about Mittens using the Caymans as a tax haven. Mailboxes are people, my friend. That's the bank office, apparently, in the Caymans. It's a post office box.
Yeah.
It normally happens when there's something fishy going on.
Exactly. When you want to shove some money away somewhere.
Chris writes, think about it. Corporations equal people. Mailboxes equal corporations, at least in the Caymans. Ergo, mailboxes equal people.
All right. My friends.
Anyway, the larger point is it's so rude and hurtful to point out that Mittens is a big, stinky tax dodger. Leave him alone.
You're
lucky. Yeah, you're lucky, you little people. He even performs for you. All right. So, yes, let's... Go ahead, unleash Britney fan on him.
Leave her alone!
Yeah, there you go.
You're lucky she even performed for you bastard!
All right.
Mm-hmm.
If Newt has his way, all your kids will have little janitor jobs anyway.
So right.
Won't matter if you get that child tax credit thing, whatever. Another Republican senator has said we need child labor to fight the obesity epidemic.
What? If they work in the field so much they'll lose weight, they'll sweat it out? Is that what he's saying?
Wow! So they're finally getting down with Michelle Obama's program, huh? But they might as well be doing something useful while they're exercising.
Plowing a field is just like calisthenics.
You know, yesterday with Hal Sparks, we ended up doing a comedy riff on using kids instead of canaries in coal mines. Yes. The next day, something almost close to that.
And this douche canoe proposes
it. Why do we need
it?
To waste canaries, for God's sakes?
God.
Kids are small enough to get down there and see what's what and what's going on, who's who.
They get
some exercise.
Holes.
They get to rappel down and up. God's sakes. It's like the rope climb in gym class. What's wrong with that? See how it smells down there.
Yeah. The rope climb never ended well for me, a little chunky kid.
No.
No, it didn't.
It wasn't so much a climb as a thud.
Yeah. It was a...
Oh, God. Wow. Oh, yeah. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican, responded to a question about the Labor Department's stricter limits on child labor by claiming they could exacerbate the child obesity epidemic by making kids less active. Concern was raised about the proposed Department of Labor's intent to greatly limit child labor on family farms. It's interesting, this child, I love this, now they're suddenly all for Michelle Obama. It's interesting, he said, this child labor bill goes against Michelle Obama's anti-obesity initiative. Michelle Obama didn't say make them run a combine.
A thresher.
They'll lose weight by losing several limbs.
Yeah, that's one way to lose weight.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. How can kids be active if they're limited by the law? Oh, yeah, there's only one answer, and that's hard labor on dangerous farm equipment. That's the only form of exercise, obviously, that's what she's talking about. Several Republican-led states have rolled back child labor laws. Representative Danny Rayburg, Republican of Montana, argued that hard manual labor teaches children important life lessons, like how to keep your stupid little hands and feet away from the thresher. To know how fast a corn silo fills up and skedaddle out of there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dagnabbit.
Yeah. The proposed rules, by the way, would forbid children younger than 16 from working with pesticides, timber operations, handling power-driven equipment, or contributing to the cultivation, harvesting, or curing of tobacco. Oh, that's really restrictive.
Oh.
Yeah, that seems like a really, that's big government there, trying to keep kids from logging. The fatality rate for child farm workers, by the way, four times higher than that of non-agricultural child workers. Wow. Problem solvers, those Republicans. Yes, sirree. Oh, God. 45 minutes after the hour.
They want children to be hog butchers.
I mean,
good Lord.
I swear to God, we do a comedy riff on the show, and the next day something is eerily close to what we thought was so horrible. We were just joking. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. I may not survive the rest of today's show on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity had available to them the modern facilities for disseminating this filth.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang.
Yep.
What did Chris and I do during the commercial breaks on an incredibly breaking news day?
We look at kitty pictures.
Kitty pictures. I was asking if you saw the one where the mother kitten keeps going again. The kitties are going down the slide, and the one, she gets one, and then the other one goes, and just kitty. This one is in honor of Mitt Romney.
Yeah, it's up on your Facebook page, actually. It's a little kitty. It says, oh, no, it's Mitt Romney has a sad.
Yeah, how of all the horrible, inauthentic things Mitt Romney said, just take a listen.
I was disappointed over the last couple of weeks to see one of my opponents attacking free enterprise just like the president was. That's not the role of the Republican Party. That makes us sad.
There's a sad kitten.
Yes.
Oh, nose. I has a sad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That
it actually says Mitt Romney has a sad.
That makes all of us in my country club sad. Check.
Everybody in
our
office.
There's a lot of really sad things in the world.
Yeah.
Seriously? Is the only thing that makes the top 1% sad?
There's a lot of
checking.
A lot of sad people at Bain Capital's office in the Caymans.
They had to take one of those dollar bills out of their suit and dab their eyes gently. Someone attacking free enterprise. Oh, noes. Oh, noes. I have a sad. Okay. All right, I know you want the update on the, the severed head found near my house.
Yeah, not just a severed head now.
Exactly. I have funny friends. Yesterday, my friend Trish texted me, Steph, would you give me a hand? Because they found a hand.
They found two hands.
Two?
Two hands, and then this morning they found 2 feet.
No! Okay, it's the hiking trails right near my house where I hike with Max and Fred.
Police suspect that they all belong to the same person.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I love that they have to say severed head. Like there's another kind.
Right.
Yes, one would assume that it were somehow removed. Okay. Yeah, I'm telling you, I hike all the time, and this is two dog walkers. A dog, they grab the bag. They're like, oh, what do you got? What you got? Who's you? Who? And the dog was shaking the bag like dogs do, and then a head came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa's like, that could have been us.
It could have. Totally.
What do you got, Max? What's such a good... Okay, yes, this was the update on the L.A. investigators found a human hand in the Hollywood Wilderness Park where a severed head in a plastic bag was discovered by dog walkers. Ah, and the search continued for other body parts.
Yeah.
The coroner's cadaver dog found the hand about 50 yards from where the head...
Mm-hmm.
they say wild animals in the park may have taken some of the other body parts. This is not... I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm sorry. It just... And they say the head is a man in his 40s, 50s, or 60s.
Yes.
And they think it's an Armenian head. That was the last I heard.
Did they really say that?
Yes. I don't know if you can tell that the head is Armenian.
What? Because there was a unibrow? What? How did... What? Huh?
Probably it looked a lot like my high school picture.
Yeah.
That's how they knew it was an Armenian man. It looked exactly like my yearbook from DeSales.
Why did they feel that was...
I don't know. I don't... Okay. Yikes. My life is getting weirder and weirder. Wisconsin Governor Scott Wanker... Who was I don't recall, Chris, how many signatures did they get?
Over 1 million.
Signatures. He said Wednesday the effort to oust him is all about the union money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The real bottom line is the national unions want their hands on the money. It's all about the union money. It's not about the workers' money. They want those automatic dues. They'll spend about anything to get that back. Walker was unapologetic about his record and confidently concluded, "We kept all our promises." Oh, yes, you did.
Computer said, yeah.
And now we're going to keep ours. V and then Vi. All right, the President's carny yesterday on the Keystone Pipeline decision.
State Department, which again reviews this process, made clear that setting an arbitrary deadline through this purely political effort would put the State Department in a corner, would severely hamper their ability to review an alternate route and a new pipeline route in the proper way.
Hey, I have some guess the quotes for you.
Sure.
Jim is in an audition, so you'll have to do.
Okay.
Who said it would be incomprehensible to give approval to a tar sands oil project when producing tar sands oil creates 82% more carbon emissions than conventional oil and when it poses the risks of extremely damaging oil spills? I agree with NASA scientist James Hansen, who has stated that fully exploiting the tar sands would mean game over for our efforts to reverse global warming. Who said that?
Valerie Harper.
No, that's a really bad guess. Senator Bernie Sanders yesterday.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Who said, I almost called you Jim. We know that by improving the fuel efficiency of our cars and trucks to 54.5 miles per gallon, an easily achievable accomplishment, we can save up to 3 times more oil per day than Keystone XL would carry. Who said that?
Sandy Duncan.
No. Closer, though.
Oh.
Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
Who said, in my view, this tar sands pipeline is a bad deal for the country and for our planet, and the president has acted in the best interest of the American people in saying no to Keystone XL? Who said that?
Jason Bateman.
No. Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hmm.
Great state of Vermont. All right. By the by, the president says Republican frontrunner or not, Mitt Romney, who can tell?
Yeah.
And his rivals are playing to their base and attacking his foreign policy record. He contends overall it will be hard to argue he hasn't executed a strategy that's put the country in a stronger position. Mr. Romney, the rest of the Republican field, in saying they were playing to their base, their attacks won't withstand what he calls serious debate, which I believe is true. This one we have not had time to cover yet, but the growing anti-SOPA, Stop Online Piracy Act support that has swept through the gaming and internet community found a very big ally today with websites like Wikipedia set to shut for a blackout today.
That was yesterday.
Yesterday, excuse me. The same day the House Judiciary was going to hear about the bill, President Obama stepped in and said he would not support the bill,
good.
So it's been delayed for now.
Yeah.
The House has agreed to revisit the issue next month, but they now know the White House will veto any bill that's not more narrowly focused.
Yep.
All right, so that's a, oh, I just, it's been, a, I'm breathless. Today's show has been like a stairmaster of awesome political news.
I know. It was a good day today.
But the biggest news for the right is a toddler might say a cuss word on Modern Family.
Last night.
Yes. And they had a freak out over it.
They did.
Yeah.
They freaked out. Totally.
Yes. So did they air the episode?
It was last night. Yeah. It was on Wednesday nights.
Oh, we're still here as a nation?
Yep.
Oh. All right, we'll tell you more about that story.
Although
tomorrow.
Newt Gingrich asked for an open marriage,
yeah,
so
well,
there is that.
But a toddler cussing—that's the—that's the biggest threat to the American family.
Because
it's a gay family,
right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh goodness, moral values all so relative today. All right, big debate tonight. Don't forget to watch; it's your homework. And then open marriage on Nightline interview with Newt Gingrich's ex-wife later. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.